The subject that we want to study this morning, I want to begin with a question for you to think about. Of all of God's creatures, the fish, the birds, the reptiles, the mammals, the tigers, the elephants, all the different creatures that God put on this earth, of which we've got a lot of people that tell us we're really just pretty much the same thing. They tell us that we're animals. Number of evolution said that we are apes, and one evolution is somewhat infamously said that we are fish. There's a lot of differences between people and animals, but one in particular I want you to think about this morning is this. You're the only one that wears clothes. Fish don't wear clothes. Elephants don't wear clothes. Poodles sometimes wear clothes if you put them on them, but most animals just don't wear clothes. Why do we wear clothes? And what signals do we send about the clothes that we choose to wear or not wear? Says, why did humans start wearing clothes? And it says an ice age helped. If you talk to the evolutionists, they are saying right now that we started wearing clothes 170,000 years ago. That's based on estimating the difference between the clothing lice and the body lice. And then it's presumed. Now, there's a few years ago, there was another study done on the same thing, came up with 100,000 years ago or so we started wearing clothes. This says this is a better study. But one of the interesting thing is that they believe that our ancestors, they believe we evolved from an ape-like creature. They believe that our ancestors came down out of the trees, got out of the savannah, and lost our body hair. And they say we went for hundreds of thousands of years with no body hair and yet no clothing. And as this title here says, well, an ice age helped. And so, you know, you get the ice age and people traveling into more northern areas, and then an ice age coming along too, and people got cold. Is that one of the reasons that we wear clothes? Because it's cold. Yeah. Yeah. But if you look around the world, it's interesting to think about non-industrialized societies. It's not that long. In a few hundred years from now, it won't be as easy to see it in action. But 100 years ago, 200 years ago, there were still a lot of people that had not had any interaction with a lot of modern things. And yet those people tend to wear some clothes. Granted, an Eskimo wears more clothes than somebody around the equator. However, there were some people down at Tierra del Fuego. And this is, Tierra del Fuego is at the bottom tip of South America. It's the closest human habitation, say 100 years ago, to the South Pole that there was. Closest land point to Antarctica in the South Pole. And even in the snow, these people would sometimes wear little or no clothing. They would have some clothing, but they didn't wear much. They huddled, they used animal grease, and they used fire. But they didn't use a whole lot of clothes. Most people have had enough sense to wear some clothes. What the Bible says, and one other thing I want to mention about this is we come up before we start with what the Bible says. This is a question that was also posed recently to Stephen on the phone. Someone asking, wanting to visit around at church and such, was disturbed because where they go to church, there didn't seem to be much teaching or reinforcement or standards about covering yourself and not exposing yourself. And this person talked to the people there at the church and asking for some support and some help on teaching on this issue, and their response was, we're not the clothing police, which is something you can say, but I mean, you could come up with all sorts of issues. I notice a lot of people here are lying and stealing. Well, we're not the honesty police. Well, we're not the police, but we should teach things about morals and about right and wrong, and we should think about it. And we need to realize that it has an effect, as we'll be talking about. How we choose to dress or not dress has an impact on our lives and on the lives of others. If you go in for a business interview, for example, do you give some thought into what you wear or don't wear when you go into a business interview? It has an impact. And even in Congress, we had some visitors a few years back, and they quit attending. And one of the reasons they quit attending was how inappropriately and indecently someone was here at the assembly. Now, actually, they weren't aware of it. It wasn't a member here. It was a visitor. But I just want you to think, and we can't help that, but I want you to think about the impact that that has. Someone came into this assembly, and one of the reasons they didn't want to come here anymore was just because of the scant clothing and inappropriate appearance of someone that was here. How we dress or not dress says a lot. Let's look at the Bible. Genesis chapter 2, verse 17, after the creation of man and woman, you've got the statement in verse 17, in verse 16, saying, "You may surely eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat thereof, you shall surely die." Then, of course, in chapter 3, the serpent, identified in the book of Revelation as Satan, the old serpent, he says, did God actually say you shall not eat of any tree of the garden? The woman said to the serpent, we're in Genesis chapter 3, verse 2, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but God said, you shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. The serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die. God knows that when you eat it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and it was a delight to the eyes and the tree was desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both were opened, and they knew that they were naked." If you talk to a fish, I don't think it's going to understand you, but even if you did, if you asked the fish, "Are you naked?" he wouldn't know what you were talking about. But now they know they are naked. So what did they do? They sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loincloths. So they took some fig leaves, sewed them together, and wrapped something around themselves. The Hebrew word has the idea of like something going around. So just something minimal. "They heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called the man and said, 'Where are you?' He said, 'I heard the sound of you in the garden. I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself.' He said, 'Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree of which I commanded you not to eat?' And then, of course, Adam pointed out, 'The woman that you gave me, she told me to do it.' And the woman pointed out, 'The serpent, he told me to do it.' And God laid a penalty on the serpent and on the woman and on the man. And they're removed from the garden. But before that, it also says this. Verse 21, "The Lord God made for Adam and for his wife garments of skins and clothed them." They realized that they were naked, and they put together some fig leaves and just covered their loins. God put some clothes on them. Uses of clothing are lots of different things. There's to conceal, to cover the body, to cover the nudity of the body, to warm and protect. In Exodus chapter 22, it talks about if you've taken a pledge of a man's cloak, and he's a poor man, and you've got his coat, and it gets nightfall, go ahead and give it back to him. He needs that. To show respect, in Matthew chapter 22, on the occasion of like the wedding feast, you remember, and the man comes in, "Why aren't you wearing a wedding garment?" You are to dress differently to show respect for the occasion. It's also used for things like to entice. In Proverbs chapter 7, the woman that goes out and approaches the young man and says, "My husband is away," how does it say she was dressed? It said she was dressed like a harlot. Gary Henry, Stephen covered this in a lesson maybe last year or the year before. If you haven't heard it, get with Stephen. He'll tell you where you can find a link on that. Gary Henry was on a bus and was sitting beside a prostitute and had a conversation with her. And she explained from a business point of view how a prostitute dresses, because they understand, and from a business point of view, how to get someone's attention like that. To show off, we're going to be reading a passage in 1 Timothy 2 where they're being told, don't make your appearance all about this expensive clothing and fancy hairstyles and everything. It's sometimes used to look down on other people. In James chapter 2, it says, if they're coming to your assembly, two men, one's a rich man and the other is a poor man in vile clothing, and you have no regard for him. You have him sit on the floor or something like that. These are some bad uses of clothing. Here's an interesting passage. It says there on that chart, Exodus 39, but it's also addressed earlier in Exodus 28. This is talking about the clothing for the priests. And it says in Exodus 28, verse 40, for Aaron's sons you shall make coats and sashes and caps. You shall make them for glory and for beauty. Now that's the hat part. Then it says in verse 42, you shall make for them linen undergarments to cover their naked flesh. They shall reach from the hips to the thighs. Now notice there the different purpose of these two clothing items. The first one is for glory and for beauty. This is not to cover the nakedness of Aaron's, scalp. This is for glory and for beauty. He is performing as a high priest at the tabernacle. And there were all sorts of things. There was the breastplate with the expensive stones and things. Had to do with the honor and respect and reverence of the occasion. But then some of the other clothing, make linen undergarments. What was the purpose of that? That's not for glory. That's not for beauty. The purpose of that was what? To cover their naked flesh. And it says, it shall reach from the hips to the thighs. And that's what was stipulated there for him in covering the nakedness. In Genesis chapter 38, verse 15, and in Proverbs 7, we see two different descriptions of some very inappropriate clothing or some clothing for an inappropriate purpose, dressing as a harlot. And it's done differently in different cultures and different times. In Genesis chapter 38, we have Judah, who's not behaving well at all, and he's looking for a prostitute, and he sees this woman, and he thinks she's a prostitute. Why? Because she had her face covered. So if she's under a veil, you can't see her face, and that was the signal at that time in culture in that city that she was a prostitute. There was, I guess, a certain amount of shame and dishonor upon being a prostitute. So instead of saying, hey, look, everybody, I'm the girl you went to high school with and I'm a prostitute, the face was covered. Then you have a rather different type, and it doesn't describe her clothing, but when you look at, as we'll read in a few minutes, the description of the adulterous woman in Proverbs chapter 7, she's wily of heart. She's grabbing him. She's saying, come, my husband is gone. And she's dressed like a prostitute. This is a more brazen type dressing. You've also got, we're going to read some passages in a minute that talk about not emphasizing the external. But it's not that there can't be things of value or quality in clothing or attractiveness. For instance, look at Genesis chapter 24. We're going to start in verse 12. This is where Abraham's servant has gone to get the wife for Isaac. And let's drop down. You recall he said he's asked the Lord to show him what woman to get by one that will not only offer him water, but also for his camels. And there's this young woman that does this. Let's drop down to verse 15. Before he had finished speaking, behold, Rebekah, who was born to Bethuel, the son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, came out with her water jar on her shoulder. The young woman was very attractive in appearance. There's nothing wrong with a woman being attractive. And she was attractive. She's a very attractive in appearance, a maiden whom no man had known. She went down to the spring and filled her water and came up. Then the servant ran to meet her and said, "Please give me a little water to drink from your jar." She said, "Drink, my lord." And she quickly let down her jar with her hand and gave him a drink. When she had finished giving a drink, she said, "I will draw water for your camels also until they have finished drinking." So she quickly emptied her jar into the trough and ran again to the well to draw water and drew for all his camels. The men gazed at her in silence to learn whether or not the Lord had prospered his journey or not. When the camels had finished drinking, the man took a gold ring weighing a half a shekel, which is, if I remember correctly, 2/5 of an ounce here. It says in the footnote. Or a shekel was. That's how much a full shekel was. This is a half shekel. But he had her a gold ring weighing a half a shekel, 2 bracelets for her arms weighing 10 gold shekels. He says, "Tell me, whose daughter are you?" And she tells, and then he tells his mission. And then he goes, and she goes to her family and says, "Look, I just met this man, and he's given me these ornaments. This is gold. This is a gold ring. These are gold bracelets." And it's a sign as well, not only of the beauty, but it shows that the family that she's marrying into has some sustenance to be able to provide for her. And the family is going to say, "Do you choose to go with him?" And she says, "Yes, I will." And they say, and they ask for the Lord's blessing upon her. Proverbs chapter 31, the worthy woman. She's pretty busy about clothing. She's making clothing. She's busy sewing. She's selling clothing. And it's not that she's completely carefree about what kind of clothing that they have. It says, in fact, Proverbs chapter 31, verse 21. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed in scarlet. Not only do they have enough clothing, but it's nice clothing. It's quality clothing. That's not wrong. But the New Testament gives 2 strong statements about this, and we need to listen to this. Turn to 1 Timothy chapter 2. Verse 9. "Likewise, that women should adorn themselves in respectable apparel." Some translations say modest apparel. "With modesty and self-control." King James says with shamefastness. The ability to blush. If you go out, spring's about to be here, and you're going to be seeing some people walking around in ways in which they should be blushing, and they won't be. They'll be walking around in clothing that some years ago would have got them arrested, and they won't be. But there should be a sense of shame there. But there is just a flauntingness and a disregard for what's appropriate and what's respectable. This says women should adorn themselves in respectable apparel, modest apparel, with modesty and self-control. What's the idea of modesty there? What would you say if you know 2 different people, and one is doing things for others, helping others, complimenting others, and the other is always trying to be the center of attention. Who would you say is modest? In sports, you know, everybody knows the difference between the ball hog and the team player. What does the team player do? Well, he helps make plays for his teams, but he also helps what?
Thing, any time of day or night, this is the invitation now, but that invitation is always open. It's the Lord's invitation, not ours. And, or if in some way you need to make things right with the brethren here, if you need to make things right or ask for the prayers of the brethren, we want to be here for one another and be able to confide in and trust in one another. So if there's anything that we can help you with to be right with the Lord, won't you come forward while we stand and sing this song?
Not a
I want to extend a warm welcome to everyone tonight. It's good to be together.